We're gathered here tonight for our prayer day service to bring forth our praises and thanksgivings and supplications to our Lord and our God. He is a God who hears prayer, and we're so thankful that he does bow down his ear to the people, his people, when they cry to him, and he answers us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our mediator. And so it's in Jesus' name that we bring all of our prayers, not only tonight, but always in our daily lives as well, our prayers through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to worship tonight from Psalm 96. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let's come before the Lord together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, gathered here tonight for this prayer day service. We ask for you to be with us, that your Holy Spirit might bring forth from our hearts this rejoicing in the splendor of your holiness, this giving thanks and ascribing to you, along with all the families of the earth, the greatness and glory that is due to your holy name. Answer all of our prayers for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is at your right hand on our behalf. We're so thankful for Jesus and his righteousness, and that he pleads for us before you, that he pleads his once and for all sacrifice and his perfect obedience on our behalf, that our prayers might be received by you and welcomed by you and heard by you and answered by you. And so hear your people, O Lord, when we cry out to you, and answer us in your goodness and kindness according to your holy will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, number 118b, The Glorious Gates of Righteousness, and we're going to stand together to sing stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 8. So the first three and the very last stanza. Congregation, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's turn now to number 86b in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, Lord, My Petition Heed, and singing together stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 7. Thank you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. We're so thankful for prayer. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful to hear it once again and rejoice in it. Thank you for answering our prayers and being with us and blessing your church, continuing to proclaim the gospel despite all of the resistance and the persecution, the hatred and ridicule that comes against your people, yet you continue to build your church, and the gospel is spread into the tribes and lands and languages, and it reaches the peoples, and you plant it in the hearts of your own. And there is much rejoicing and gladness and thanksgiving when you bring a sinner to life in Christ. And Father, we know of your work in that in the early church, in the scriptures. We know of that in your work in the church today. And we praise you for it. Bless your word to us, to strengthen us and comfort us and encourage us, to build us on the only foundation for our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together to the book of 2 Corinthians, looking at chapter 1. And we're going to read the first 11 verses, if you're following in our church Bibles, page 964. Next is going to be verse 11. I have a book in my study that I read a few number of years ago called Praying with Paul, and it simply goes through a number of the prayers of Paul in his letters, and this is not one of them in that book, but it gave me the idea also just to consider one of his prayers here, a request for prayer, actually, but it's a wonderful study to consider that, how the apostle prays and the things that he prays for in his letters and remarks upon in terms of his prayers when he writes to God's people. 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. And so far, the reading of God's word, again, the text will be verse 11. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for each other. We ask others to pray for us, and others ask us to pray for them. Or we say to each other, I will pray for you, or we will pray for you. And those are so often very comforting words. And if you're like me, you have a long list of people and praises and thanksgivings and petitions and requests of God because of all of the various needs of all of those people that are in your life, as well as for yourself and for the Church of Christ. There's plenty of people to pray for, and there's plenty of things to pray for. When we're praying for others or we ask somebody to pray for us, what we're asking for or what we're seeking to do is to make intercession through the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, on behalf of somebody else. Not needs of our own, not praises of our own, but those of somebody else. Or we've asked somebody else to share with us the burden of praying for our particular praises or thanksgivings or our needs. And the reason there's great comfort in that, of course, is because we can share those burdens as brothers and sisters. We trust each other, we love each other, we care about one another, and collectively together, as we share the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, as God's people, we've sang from Psalm 86, as poor and needy as that psalm says, we have a God who hears prayer. We have a God who bends His ear. He bends down. He comes low down to our level, as it were, to listen to the particular prayers of His people. And in that like precious faith, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is right now, boys and girls, at God's right hand, and He is making intercession or interceding on our behalf. He has perfect righteousness. He has given a perfect and once-for-all sacrifice for all of our sins. And that's why we pray through Him, in His name, for the sake of Jesus Christ, because He presents all of our prayers to God the Father in His perfect righteousness, and that's why they're accepted. That's why God receives them. He's our Father, we are His children, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these things come together, and God hears our prayers. Whether we're praying for ourselves, or the church broadly, or we're praying for the community, as we're going to do a number of those things this evening, or whether we're praying for a particular brother or sister in the Lord and a particular need, those prayers are heard through our gracious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this verse, and this particular request of Paul in verse 11, is kind of complicated. You know, if you thought that as we were reading it. What is he really asking for? You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. So try to summarize before we get to our three points. Because of the deadly peril, verse 10, and all of the afflictions, verse 8, Paul renounced all his self-reliance. I'm not going to rely on myself. I can't rely on myself. Instead, he said, I rely on the Lord, which he says in verse 9, that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. He was a man under death, verse 10, verses 9 and 10, a man under death, but God saved him. And Paul now realizes that similar encounters may happen in the future. He's not specific about what the deadly peril was. He's not specific about what he was going through at the particular time. But he anticipates more of these kinds of occasions. And so because of that, he's asking for the Corinthians to pray. And he's asking them to pray because Paul does not presume upon God's future intervention and preservation. He sees that as something he has to ask for. And that's something that we could learn about in our own prayers too. We ask God for things. We don't presume that He's going to give them. That's why we come to Him in prayer first, seeking the things that we believe that we need even for the future. So the Corinthians are called upon to pray for future deliverance. And then Paul says in this verse, if God does graciously intervene in those future situations, then that will mean that many, many more people will be giving thanks and glory to God because of the deliverance. Part of getting people involved in prayer means they're going to follow up. Hey, you asked me to pray for that thing for you a week ago. How did that turn out? Oh, it went very well. The Lord did this in my life and it was wonderful. Now is another occasion for yet another child of God to give thanks and praise. And that's what Paul's saying. You as a whole church, Corinthian church, pray for us for these things, because if God delivers us in the future, that will mean many, many more people giving thanks and glory to God. And that's the first thing that I want to consider in this text, that we're praying for God's glory. And when you're praying for someone else or someone is praying for you, that's ultimately what you're praying for. So Paul says here in verse 11, so that many will give thanks on our behalf, that God gets the praise. And this is part of praying God's will, because it is God's will that he be glorified, that he be sanctified, that he be worshiped as a holy God. So our prayers for one another can help in bringing God's glory. And this ought to be our aim when we're praying for someone else. Now, I want you to think about that when you think about the prayers that you pray for another person. What do you pray for? Well, of course, there's a zillion situations and just about as many people, right? Let's say it's for somebody to get better. They've been facing a sickness for a while. It's not cancer, it's not terminal, but it's some kind of a physical sickness and affliction that's got them run down for, say, 2 weeks. And they're just struggling in the misery of that, and they ask you, can you pray for me? Well, what do you pray for? You pray for the person and for the particular needs there. But not just that. Ultimately, you want God to be glorified in this particular situation. So you might also pray, in addition to things like healing and patience and wisdom and so forth, that perhaps the Lord would use this to show his goodness or his faithfulness, or to strengthen the person's faith so that God may be further worshiped. May you use this particular situation in this person's life for somebody else who maybe doesn't know the Lord to come and to see that God is faithful. Think about things in the situation that might bring the glory of God. When you're asking someone to pray for you, are you thinking, how might God be glorified when that person prays for me? It's easy for us to think, this will be comforting for me, this will be helpful for me, and it ought to be. That's not a bad thing. But are you also thinking about how might God be glorified by the prayers of that person? And then, when the Lord answers you, do the due diligence of contacting those people again that you've asked to pray and say, this is how God answered that. Thank you for your prayers. May God be praised in how he answered, and give them opportunity to do that as well. Paul had great afflictions. The word comfort shows up in this chapter more than the word affliction, but affliction is second. And the afflictions were various and frequent. You know some of the things that Paul had to go through when he was through the book of Acts and his missionary journeys and so forth. And there were others that followed after this letter yet. But those were examples also. Examples for the believers to see. Oh, Paul's an apostle. But God brought him to some, what would you call them, strange places, unexpected places, to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord for that. Or the apostle Paul, who started out as a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church, and he hated Christ. And then, even after on the road to Damascus, when Christ confronts him, he goes into Jerusalem, and everybody is very, very uncertain about the Apostle Paul. That's putting it lightly. They're afraid of him. We know who that guy is. We know what he's done before. How can we possibly trust him? But by the time you get to the end of the book of Acts, or you read any of his letters, you see how the Lord so marvelously used this man to bring the gospel to so many people and so many places with such power and such conviction and persuasion. Many of us, if we would pick our favorite Bible passages, might come out of his letters. Amazing how God uses a person. Even that, the life of Paul, can bring about the glory of God. And it can be the same way for us as well. When you see your friend, your loved one, your brother, your sister in the Lord, or even the person at work that you're praying for, and you see how that person battles through the affliction, deals with the trial, lives through the hardship, trusts in the Lord in the midst of it, maybe grows in faith because of it, turn to the Lord and praise Him. Bring Him glory for that. We learn in the Christian faith in a lot of different ways. Afflictions is one of the best schools for us. And you can see that in your own life. You can see that in the lives of those that you know as well. So we pray for God's glory. We also pray for the church's good. The Church of Jesus Christ needs prayers because of these deadly perils and because of these afflictions. When you think about all of the opportunities for the proclamation of the gospel, for witness, opportunities to show that the sacraments and worship are not just different, but essential. Think of the opportunities for growth while the church is under the cross of persecution. It always seems to grow, and that's not a happenstance. That's God's design. Or think about growth even in the parts of the world that seem to have stagnated, where there doesn't seem to be much growth. Do we pray for those places of the church? Do we pray for their good? Do we rejoice in the Lord that the church has seen so many mercies from the Lord? So many people being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the numbers on that. We don't know all the places where it's happening. The news is usually bad news. I don't think anybody, certainly not mainstream, is reporting on how the church is growing in such and such a place or how many numbers. We don't get reports like Acts chapter 2. And that very day, 3,000 souls were added to their number. Maybe we'd be more encouraged if we did, but we don't get those kinds of reports. We should trust, though. If it's happening then, it's happening now. And even if we don't know where, it's happening. God is going to gather all of His people. So many people are being helped in mercy. So many are being loved in fellowship in churches. So many people are being delivered from this perverse generation. I read of two more again in the last couple weeks of people who were declared themselves, self-declared atheists, unbelievers. They wanted nothing to do with the church whatsoever or the Lord Jesus Christ. And significant things happened in their lives, and by God's grace, there were people in their lives who could speak the gospel of good news to them, and they renounced their atheism and they've confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. One wonders how often that's happening. You know how bad the world is getting. But even unbelievers are waking up to some of that, saying, this is not exactly the world that I thought we were creating. And of course, we can continue to give thanks to God in prayer for His answers to many prayers. He answers your prayers. He answers my prayers. He answers prayers that are being uttered on our behalf. And the church continues to persevere and press on. It's very interesting that Paul enlists the Corinthians here as though in some way his future deliverance and the future deliverance of the apostles depended upon their prayers. This is the kind of language that Paul uses. And obviously that none of that recounts or discounts the work of Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, the providence of God, the power of God. But he brings the Corinthians in as a church to say, you're participant in this. Be part of this. Step out of your own individual life and come together communally to put these particular things to prayer as a body of Christ for the church's good. Because Paul and the apostles, of course, they're not going out to proclaim themselves. They're going out to proclaim Christ and the good news of the kingdom. And you know, again, how much the Lord used Paul to deliver people from their sins. And then thirdly, we pray for blessings that are granted. You also must help us by prayer, Paul says in verse 11. We must also focus on those for whom we pray. We pray for present blessings and future blessings, and we give thanks for blessings that are already given. But praying for others, brothers and sisters, means, as it does for all things in life, submitting to God's will. Scripture is the only foundation and regulation for our faith, for worship, for how we are to live our life, in terms of what's right and what's wrong. Scripture tells us the good news of salvation, but it also warns us against a life of sin and worldliness. Well, then Scripture must be the foundation and regulation for prayer also. We need to pray God's will. Now, we can get stuck there a little bit from time to time. Let's say one of your loved ones is dying. What do you pray for? Is it right to pray for that person to be healed and continue to live when everything that the doctors are telling you and all the signs are there and everything that this person surely is going to die? You pray God's will. If it is your will, then make this person live. If it is not your will, grant the grace and the peace and the comfort of all comforts to accept that as the answer. But in all cases, no matter how the Lord will work out a situation like that, and they're all different, you ask for mercy, you ask for wisdom, you ask for help. You might have to ask, I've prayed this before in a situation like that, Lord, we don't know what to pray for. You know what's necessary here. You know what is needful. You know what is upon the hearts of all of the people that are involved in this situation, and you know the heart of the one who is particularly suffering and by all appearances near death. But we trust. We are assured of your presence, of your faithfulness, and above all else, we are assured of the certainty of Christ's death and resurrection for his people. We're grounded in the gospel. Or what if somebody has now a terminal illness, maybe cancer? What do you pray for in that kind of a situation? Do you pray for healing? Do you pray for all of the procedures, even though you know and the doctors are telling you it's going to be rough, it's going to be hard, it's going to be very, very difficult. Maybe it's even risky. Maybe. What do you pray for in that kind of situation? Again, same thing. You pray the will of the Lord. Lord, we don't know what your will is in this situation for this particular person. But there are many things we know about your will. That you're a God of life. You're a God who loves his people. You're a God filled with kindness and goodness. You're a God who is eternal. You're infinite, and yet you're ever present. You're almighty. We know that you could take this away completely and utterly, not just into remission, but gone, never to resurface ever again in this person's life. You have the power to do that. But you may also have other purposes in mind that we don't know. Your will be done. And as we pray for others and as we think about praying for the blessings that God grants to us or asking for blessings in the future, some of these things we don't know, but He does. And so we ask humbly and in submission to His will. Praying for others also means knowing your own hearts. For whom do you pray? And how do you pray for them? For most of us, we pray for people we know. We pray for people that are close to us. Maybe we pray for people that have specifically asked us to pray. How many of us pray for those that we resent? How many of us pray for those with whom we have conflict? How many of us pray for those against whom we hold some kind of a grudge or bitterness? How many of us are earnestly praying for our enemies and those who persecute us, as Jesus said? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How often do we pray for kings and those in authority with whom we maybe deeply disagree? Not as easy. Praying for people you love, that's easy. People that you see all the time, that's easier. Praying for people that have very particular and especially immediate needs, that's not very hard. But what about people that don't like you? What about people that are opposed to you? What about people that are on the other side of an issue than you? Or really somebody that truly, deep down in your heart, if you're honest, you do resent that person. I've told you before that one of the easiest ways to begin reconciling with someone is to pray for that person and be honest before the Lord about your own heart with respect to that person. Prayer doesn't change God, but it has this really great way of changing us, and it does. And so we need to confess our sins. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to reform our hearts. We need the blood of Christ. And praying for others must also be grounded in the gospel. And then praying for others also means knowing the person that you're praying for. What exactly are the needs? What are the troubles? What kind of help is needed? Now, Paul asked for something specific here, but sometimes it's more generic. Pray for me for an upcoming event is pretty specific. Pray for me in this very particular situation is pretty specific. But pray for me that I would have greater wisdom or more patience. Pray for me that the Lord would soften my heart about this particular thing. They might be more generic. But we should know the people that we're praying for as much as possible and know the situations as best as possible. That's part of the part of being in fellowship with each other. And sometimes, of course, in all of these things, the Lord answers prayer very differently than we expect. If we were in a situation like Paul, most of us, I think, or maybe all of us, would rather just say, pray that the deadly peril be taken away. Pray that the afflictions would stop. Pray that there would be a ceasing to all the trouble. But again, you know what happens to Paul. Shipwrecked. Put in prison. House arrest. Eventually in house arrest in Rome with Caesar's guards. Every one of those, of course, being tremendous opportunities for preaching the gospel. So that even some of the Praetorian Guard have come to faith. So Paul wouldn't have asked, and he doesn't ask, remove the afflictions. But he does ask that they would pray for them, help them in prayer, that God would be glorified in the midst of it. And that happened for Paul. We don't always see that as clearly in our own lives. Sometimes it takes a few years to see it. We just want the cancer to be taken away, or we want the person to live instead of die. We want the troubles of life to be removed. We want normal life to resume. We don't want to be sick anymore. We want to be healthy. We don't want to be weak anymore. We want to be strong. We don't want to have the impending surgery. We just want to have it over and be on the recovery. We don't want the troubles. We don't want the financial difficulties. We don't want the conflicts. We want those things to be removed. But sometimes the trials stay. And the answer to the prayers is simply to be assured of God's presence, like in Psalms 42 and 43. or maybe to grow in wisdom like James 1, or maybe to learn the sufficiency of God's grace in 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul says, I prayed to the Lord three times to remove the thorn in the flesh, and God answered him, my grace is sufficient for you. For Jesus, one of the answers to his prayers in the garden was to press on towards the cross for the salvation of his people. If it be your will, remove this cup from me. The angels come and minister to him, and then he sweats drops of blood, because the answer from God was, the will of the Lord is for you to drink the cup of wrath all the way to the bottom, which he did. Christ's affliction, God's glory, our salvation. Don't run from the afflictions and the trials. Don't be so quick to ask that they be removed. Pray rather that God's will be done. And trust that your Father knows, and he cares, and he's with you, and he has something intended for you that you cannot perceive. But he will bring it about. No matter who we're praying for, whether we're praying for ourselves or we're praying for somebody else or somebody else is praying for us, it's always going to come out for God's glory and our good. Amen. Let's turn to number 522. Behold the throne of grace. And let's stand together to sing all the stanzas. For our prayers this evening in our prayer service, Elder Nick Skolton praying for our community and our work, Elder Jonathan Grossman praying for our nation and the world, and Elder Greg Van Hollen praying for the Church of Jesus Christ. And following those prayers, we'll receive the offering for the Luke Society.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, God of infinite wisdom, power, goodness, and glory, we come before your throne not because we are worthy, but we come clothed only in the righteousness of Christ. It is for his sake that we ask you to hear our prayers. Lord, we come before you to ask for prayers for our community. We pray that you will guide the local elected officials, the police officers, firefighters, and medical personnel. We thank you for their service to our community, and we pray that you will keep them safe as they serve and protect us. We thank you that in our community we have many God-fearing people serving in these areas. May their interactions with the community glorify and honor you. We also pray for the businesses in our area. We thank you for the goods and services they provide to us so that we can have life and we can thrive and do many things, that we can live here and that we can enjoy the area of this world that you have given us to live. We pray for the schools in our area, all the way from preschool to higher education. We also pray for those in our church and community that homeschool. We pray that you will bless the teachers and the parents as they educate. Give them wisdom and patience, and may the courses taught bring glory and honor to your name, as all the children of the community learn more about the truths of your world and how you order, govern, and sustain all things. May they be in awe of your surpassing greatness. Lord, we pray for our work. We thank you for the work you give us to do, whether in the field, the barn, the office, the factory, the kitchen, the classroom, the truck, the shop, the home, the pulpit, wherever you have called us. We asked, especially in this time and as the farmers look to plant and look forward to the upcoming harvest this year, we pray for timely rains and plentiful sunshine. And Lord, if it brings glory and honor to you, we pray for good prices for crops and for livestock. We pray that you will bless the employers as they make many decisions and as they interact with employees and customers. Help them to be trustworthy and diligent in their roles. Bless employees that they may diligently and honestly work as working for the Lord. We know that our work was filled with many trials of many kinds. Sometimes there is conflict with the people who work with us. Perhaps we get tired of the tasks we do. Maybe some tasks become repetitive or boring, or the tools we use break, or the technology we use frustrates us. The homework is difficult. Our livestock becomes sick. Our crops need to be replanted. We become impatient with the weather. Our home never seems to stay clean for long enough. And so on and so forth, and there are many challenges, and we are reminded daily that we live in a fallen world. Help us to see that all things come from your hand, and help us to see that coworkers, fellow students, our boss or our employees, our teachers, our fellow students, and our customers are all fellow image bearers of you. And earnestly we ask that you give us joy in our work, and if it be your will, that we see the fruits of our labor and can rejoice in them. Bless those looking for work and those desiring a different occupation. Especially guide those students looking for full-time employment after graduation and those other students looking to find part-time work during the summer. May they find work that matches their gifts and abilities and allows them to use their time faithfully. Lord, may you use our community and our work to bring glory and honor to you. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, from whom all of our national order and all of our worldly order proceeds, you are the one who has ordained nations and who has ordained local governments to rule and to overrule in the hearts of men. You are the one who can turn the king's heart like a river of water. Rule and guide our nation and state and local leaders so that your kingdom would be advanced, your word would be proclaimed boldly, and your church would be strengthened and free to call the lost to repentance. To this end, we pray that our national leaders would turn from arrogance and pride and acknowledge our dependence on your divine grace and power in all that they do. That our legislatures and assemblies would enact laws protecting life, property, and freedom of worship, and that those rules and laws would be advanced over the opinions of men. To that end, we pray that division in our society would be replaced by submission and unity in the truth and righteousness that can be found in your holy word and understanding of it. We pray that our coming elections would be free and fairly decided, and that you would raise up leaders who are bound to you and understand the principles in your word. We pray that our courts would uphold just laws fairly for all citizens and wisely decide cases put before them. We pray that our servicemen and women would serve the national good and be successful in the things that they do, prosecuting evildoers, and be protected in those duties when they are in harm's way. We also pray that unjust laws, opinions, and regulations would be replaced with such laws and regulations as would be in line with your holy word and would strengthen our nation. O Lord, our world is a torn and shattered world. It is torn apart by different wars, slavery, injustices, and many difficult situations. We pray, Lord, that you would use governments that are oppressing their people, and that you would change those governments to those which would allow the worship of you and would allow leadership that is able to be of a benefit to those people. We pray that those leaders and governments that oppress Christians in many countries would fail, and that the world would turn away from this destructive greed and turn towards you as the rightful ruler of all. We pray, Lord, for the end of evil wars in Ukraine. We pray that you would cast out those who would subjugate their neighbors. In Israel, we pray, Lord, that you would bring peace in that land and that you would turn about those who would oppress others because of their religion. We pray, Lord, for Christians in many nations who are under the sword and under tremendous oppression. We think of Iran, Christians in China and North Korea. We think of Christians in Africa who are under oppression and many types of difficulty. Lord, you know each of these situations, and we pray for those Christians there that you would protect them, that you would use their situations to spread the gospel, and that your name would go forth powerfully in those nations. We thank you for reports from many of these countries about the spread of the gospel and about how your word has gone forth and many hearts are turned towards you. We pray, Lord, that in all of these situations, your word would be seen as the rule and guide of life and would triumph over the evil of this present age. For we know that there are many spiritual situations and principalities and powers that raise themselves against you and against your holy church and word. We pray, Lord, that we would see the name of Jesus raised above all of these situations. We pray for these things, Lord, in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Almighty God, that you are perfectly wise, just, good, merciful, all-powerful, all-knowing. We thank you that you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light, and that you have promised that you will be our God and that we shall be your people. We thank you that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, the true head of the church. And we thank you that he is our chief prophet and teacher, that you have not left your church to wander, but that you have revealed yourself and given us your word. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would work in us, that it would give us understanding and wisdom, that we would rightly apply Scripture. We thank you for your ministers of the Word, for it is by them that we hear the voice of our Savior. We pray for Pastor DeRoy and other ministers of like-minded, precious faith. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them and their families. We pray that your ministers would continue to proclaim your Word, and that they would proclaim it boldly, without a fear of man, and that it would not return to you void, but would accomplish what you set it out to do. We pray, too, that you would call young men to the ministry, for the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We pray that you would work in our young men and other congregations of like-minded faith, that you would create a desire within them to serve you as a minister of the word. We pray for those institutions that train men for the ministry. We pray that you would bless them and that your churches would support them. We pray for our missionaries. And we pray that we, the members of your church, would confess your name, that we would speak the same thing, that we would be united, and that we too would not have a fear of man, and that we would have opportunities to declare your word to others. We thank you that Jesus Christ is also our only high priest, that by his once-for-all sacrifice he has redeemed us, and that he ever lives to make intercession for us. We pray that we, as members of your church, would present ourselves as living sacrifices of thankfulness. We thank you that we have a sympathetic high priest who cares for us and shows us mercy. We pray, Lord, for our deacons. We are thankful that they are providing our church with mercy and care, and to our congregation and to those outside of our congregation. We pray that you would continue to supply your faithful churches with faithful deacons. We thank you that Christ is our eternal King, that he governs us by his word and spirit. We're thankful that he defends and preserves us, and we acknowledge that we are weak, and that the world, our flesh, and the devil assail us without ceasing. May we ever remember that we are able to stand firm against them because of you, and that nothing can snatch us out of your hand. We pray for the elders. We pray that they would watch over and care for the flock as they govern on your behalf, that they would be gentle and lowly as Christ was. We are thankful that you have provided elders to our church. We pray that you would strengthen them in that shepherding and discipline of the church, and pray that you would supply your faithful churches with faithful elders. We pray, too, that you would strengthen us as we fight against the world, the devil, and our own flesh. Pray that we would build each other up in the faith, and that we would be kind and tender-hearted to one another. We thank you that the church is cared for by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for our expectant mothers. We pray that they would have healthy children, that those children would also be believers, and that they would serve you. We pray for our children. We pray that they would be brought up in your nurture and admonition, that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in them, that they would continue to have a desire to learn and grow in the faith and serve you. We pray, Lord, that you give wisdom and patience to their parents and to teachers as they deal with some of the trials and difficulties in raising children. We pray, too, for the youth in our church. We pray that they would be united in true faith, that they would build each other up in the faith and be kind to each other. We pray, too, for wisdom for them as they look to their future, whether it be work or marriage, education, where to live, all the many things that they wrestle with. We pray, Lord, that they would bring all things through Scripture. And we pray that you would strengthen them as they wonder what your will for them is. And we are thankful that they are concerned about this, as this is a mark of a Christian. We pray, too, for the adults. We pray that you would be with them in their various callings as they seek to glorify your name. We thank you for the many gifts of our members and how they are used to serve you in the church. It is a great joy to see the body working together for each other, a great joy to see the diversity of gifts that you have granted to each of us, and to hear even singing during worship. We pray for those who may not know what their gifts are or don't think they are recognized. We know, Lord, that you have given them each gifts. We pray that they may pray about this and seek advice from others when needed. We're thankful that our congregation shows care and mercy to one another as Christ did. We pray that we would rejoice when others rejoice and mourn when others mourn. We pray for those who are going through mourning. We think of the Van Bemmel family and John and Glenda and their family and the DeCam family. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort them and comfort others too who have been grieved with the passing of loved ones. We mourn over these deaths, but not as those without hope, for we know that they and we shall always be with the Lord. We pray for those who are going through trials, that you would strengthen them, give them grace and patience where needed, wisdom for the doctors. We pray for those who are lonely or depressed or need encouragement. We pray that we as a church may minister to them, that we would come alongside of them and encourage them. We are thankful, Lord, that Rose's surgery went well. We pray that you would continue to grant her recovery and wisdom for the doctors as they look to treat her. We pray, Lord, for our shut-ins, for Dolores and Lois and Betty and Kay and Esther and Arlene. We know they long to be in worship but are providentially hindered. We pray, Lord, that you would grant them grace. We pray, too, for our members who are erring in the faith. We pray that they would be brought to repentance and that you would give the elders wisdom as they deal with these members. We thank you and praise you that we have been redeemed by Christ's precious blood, that we have been granted forgiveness of sins, and that you have gathered us out of the world into everlasting life. We long for your return and to be in heaven where we can praise and glorify you without sin in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The doxology, number 562. And I don't remember which stanzas because my bulletin's not here. Let's do 1 and 3. Up your hearts and receive God's parting blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.